Good to be back this afternoon, and good to see those who are here.
Amen.
Amen. Good to see those who see the need to come back and get some more of the Word of God in
Amen.
Them. Amen.
Amen.
If everybody was like that, we'd all grow by leaps and bounds.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
You're here today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're honored guest of the audience, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. You can only do that by believing Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Upon believing that, you can repent of your sins, confess him to be the Son of God, then be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. The Lord will add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Studying this afternoon, continuing our study on PTSD. Been a great study for me. Really knowing that PTSD is in the clinical, medical field, it's post-traumatic stress disorder. Many people. Some of us got it and don't even know we got it. Don't know why we are living with trauma that of our past that we have not got over. And we suppress it, don't talk about it. To make ourselves believe we're okay because we have never dealt with the trauma. When you look at PTSD as a recap, you can look at the post-traumatic as always something that happened in your past. It's a trauma in the past. And oftentimes it's for military people that go to wars and come out. They have the memory of what all happened during the wars and those horrific events and sights that they saw. And then you have the children who grew up in homes, the relationship type disorder, stress disorder, where they were molested or someone was raped in their life, or physical abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, marital abuse. It happens in marriages and homes, and fathers and parents can have a stress disorder from their childhood, and they bring it over into their marriage, and it becomes cyclic where no one is breaking the cycle, and it just continues. So whatever trauma they had, they then traumatize their children because they act the same way. And you see those in all kind of relationship, church relationship, where people will not go to a congregation because they've been traumatized by something that happened. Now they start acting out. The behaviors are evident that you have been traumatized. And so a person with post-traumatic stress disorder, in my opinion, I'm pushing the idea that it requires spiritual order in order to deal with stress disorder. So I'm using post-traumatic spiritual disorder is a reason why your stress disorder has not been corrected.
Okay.
And then when you look at that, you got the sore pains that come with these traumas that we call travails, and those painful events they'll have the triggers or the reminders when you have this suppression, when it's in you and something triggers it, then you start seeing this cold-blooded behavior coming from the individual who has been traumatized because they are not healed. And then we looked at how victims of cold blood, the people who have this PTSD, can hurt people who love them, and they become the victims of the person's post-traumatic spiritual disorder. Then you got to look at the diagnosis of spiritual disorder. I showed you how bitterness and anger and malice and all these type of behaviors is an evidence that you have spiritual disorder. When you cannot control your anger, or you are harboring ill feelings, or you are bitter, or you have malice in your heart, or you can't forgive, you can't let go of it, you hold it against them, you don't speak, you don't talk, you don't communicate, because you have not dealt with your spiritual disorder. But children of God who have spiritual orders can control anger, and they do those things by following the Word of God. And then once you identify your spiritual disorder, then you have to deal with your spiritual disorder with God. The only way you can have spiritual order is you got to deal with life with God. Now, the memory will never go away. That's what I did last time I spoke on this, the dealing with the memory. So people say things like, I will forgive, but I won't forget. Well, that's not possible for you to forget. God don't want you to forget. He wants you to remember. The memory is in our favor. The memory of the trauma. You say, what, brother? I got to remember. Yeah, you can close your eyes and stick your hand here, but the memory will remain. So what is the purpose of the memory? God can do what we cannot do. And that is, God says, your sin I will remember no more. However, as mankind, he did not give us the ability to not have memory. Even a person who has with a dementia or with the other one, Alzheimer, they have a short-term, they don't have short-term memory, but they can remember all the way back to where their childhood. I remember my mother had dementia. She remember all the things that they done long ago, but she couldn't remember a minute ago. So but they still have memory. And when you die, amen, if you look at the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man had memory after he died. Is that right? He knew he had five brothers at home, and that he said, tell them, don't come to this place. Go back and tell them. So God going to give you memory now, and you can have memory if you miss heaven. Amen. So what is the purpose of memory? This is what I gave you last week, the week before last. Number one, we learn patience by waiting on God to deliver us from the trauma. We can only gain experience after the trauma. All this is related to memory. We use memory, that memory which becomes experience, to help somebody else. When we comfort others, we can bring glory to God. The memory of the trauma causes us to grow closer to God, which secures our salvation. The memory can help save others. We can help save others by sharing our trauma and giving God the praise when we prevent someone else from going through what we went through. But you got to give God the glory for deliverance. The memory helps us stay humble and faithful to the Lord. Memory is our hope for deliverance from future trauma. Whatever we went through, because we remember God brought us through it, we're ready to deal with whatever's coming in the future. In memory of the deliverance and the comfort from the trauma prepares us for whatever will come in our future. The memory of the trauma helps us learn from our mistakes, therefore preventing us to make the same future mistake. So memory is in our favor.
Amen.
Now this afternoon, for a few minutes, I want to talk about the power of the conscience. What God give us as a conscience is in our favor. In Romans chapter 2 is where we're going to be at for a few minutes. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. For as many as have sinned
without law shall also perish without law.
Right.
And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
Now think of the law as scripture. It's important to get this point that I'm making tonight, this afternoon, is the law is scripture. For now, verse 13 says, notice what he said.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God,
right,
but the doers of the law shall be justified.
So here's the point. No one can have spiritual order that don't do what the law say. This is very important to my point tonight. People who are dealing with PTSD, who have no spiritual order, is because they're not doing it the way God told them to do it. Notice what he said, when Gentiles have not the law, verse 14,
for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves.
Read on.
Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another.
Okay. So, if we get my little board up. So, the mind is where it all happening at, right here, the brain, which we know as the heart. As a man, what? Think it in his heart, so is he. So the heart is our brain, is where we what? Think. And the conscience is within the heart or the brain. Stress disorders are mental disorders. Spiritual disorders are mental disorders. If you don't get it right in your head, then you can't get it right outside. So the conscience is in place for us. It's in our favor. The conscience is given to us by God as a warning system. It warns us. It tells us. It only warns when we're trying to do, when we're using the law of God as the information that we receive.
Say it again.
Let me say that again.
Yeah, slow down.
When, and I'll give it a better illustration when I get this up. Trash in, trash out. The conscience, if you put something in telling yourself you're okay, and it's not from the word of God, your conscience say you're okay. You're okay. Because of the information. But when you put the word of God in your mind, and I'm going to show you this scripturally, the conscience working and says, I'm going to do one of two things. It's going to excuse you, or it's going to accuse you.
Okay.
See, if you're not trying to live by the word of God, you don't feel guilty about sin.
Amen.
Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's how sinners live. You see, but a Christian have sorrow when they do something that's against
their conscience.
The will of God.
Okay.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Because they are trying to line up with the will of God, and what God put in our minds is a conscience that tells us when we're okay. When you say, Lord, forgive me, he said, well, you're excused.
Okay.
You know, I get back, you know, when you got baptized for the remission or forgiveness of what?
See.
When you came up out of that water, did you feel like the weight was off your shoulder?
Yeah.
Why? Your conscience was saying, you ain't guilty no more. Okay. Now, so when you look at the word of God, what God is doing through his word, he want to insert his word into my mind.
Okay.
So in James chapter 1, what the Bible tells us, that in James chapter 1, verse 21, he said, wherefore
lay apart
all
filthiness.
And
superfluity of naughtiness.
Start changing. Receive with
meekness. The engrafted word.
Which is able
to save your souls.
It's able to what?
Save your soul.
So you got to receive with meekness. So the whole purpose for God, the conscience saying excuse means you are. To be excused means, hey, look here, you're not guilty no more. To accuse you, the conscience is saying, hey, you know that's wrong. You feel guilty. You have a guilt. So your conscience is working when you feel guilty about what you're doing. And the whole purpose of it is to save
your soul.
So what I'm saying is you got to have spiritual order if you're in this to save your soul, then the word of God will work. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, listen to Hebrews 4:12. He said,
For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any
two-edged sword,
piercing
even
the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow.
Now notice where it goes. It's in joints and marrow. Now watch what else he says.
And is a discerner.
The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts
and intents of the heart.
And intent. So whatever the individual is intending to do, the word of God can head it off. Y'all with me? So what I'm trying to get us to see is that the power of the conscience is working in your favor. So when a person has been traumatized in the past and they start getting spiritual order, they don't have to live with guilt because the word of God relieves the conscience. And the word of God is what gives us what we need in order to be able to live with whatever happened in our past. So here's God. God's word is coming into my mind. And when I'm thinking on the word of God is working on the thoughts and intents of my heart. Now, how do I have to receive it in order to work? In James 1, he said, we have to receive with meekness
the engrafted word.
So the individual must receive with meekness the word of God, which is able to save our soul. Now, what Paul said in Romans 2 was this. He said, notice what he says. For not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doer
of the law shall be justified.
That's the person who has spiritual order. So you can say you're a child of God, but you don't do what the Bible says, then you don't have spiritual order, which means you're not going to be just before God, which means anything in your life that you've done will come up on the day of judgment because you didn't do it the way that God told you to do it.
Amen.
See, our thoughts are accusing us when we're going against the word of God, and excusing us when we're doing what the word of God says. You say, Brother, what that's got to do with spiritual order? That's the mechanism that God gave you to let you know when you have spiritual order.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, there is something called a seared conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared.
They're lying and apart. They're not bothered by it. Having their conscience
seared with a hot iron.
And you think about what they do with cattle. They brand them. They take a hot iron. They put that hot iron, that brand, into a hot fire, get it red hot. And then they take that brand and they stick it into the skin of that animal. And what it does, it kills all the nerve endings. And it scabs over. And when it heals, you can touch it. And you don't feel it. See, the reason some folk will not have spiritual disorder and they'll die with PTSD. Why? Because the word of God don't touch them.
Okay.
They don't feel it. Because their conscience is seared. It stopped working in their favor because They have seared their conscience. It leaves an identifying mark, but if you touch it, it is hard and without feeling. That's the danger we must understand, that the danger we all face is becoming seared.
Okay.
And if our conscience is seared, we're in trouble. Here's the message. If your thoughts and conscience is bothering you, it is a warning system that what you are doing is against the will of God or against the law of God. However, if you have spiritual disorder to the point your conscience is seared, then you will live and die with PTSD. What's your traumatic spiritual disorder? But Paul said, in the day God shall judge the secrets of men. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon said this, let us hear what? The conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty. The whole
duty of man.
The whole duty is to keep spiritual order. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The whole duty of man, God is saying, your whole duty is to keep spiritual order. It is not okay for you to blow up. It is not okay for you to be bitter. It is not okay for you never not to forgive. It is not okay for you to keep getting angry. It is not okay to have malice in your heart. It is not okay. Because that's spiritual disorder. And that's why lives are tore up. That's why marriages are torn apart. When you got two people in one house and both of them can't stand each other, you got two people with spiritual disorders. And that's why that marriage is in trouble. That's why the children are suffering. Well, meaning our children are suffering at home because the parents are not spiritual. They may come to church, but then home they act like they have no spirituality. What are you saying, brother? That's what Solomon's saying. The whole duty of man is to fear God and what? Keep his commandments. Why? This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every
secret thing.
See, Paul said,
whether it be good.
Solomon said it, and Paul said it. The secret things are coming up. Brother said, we ain't getting away with nothing. Everything we do that we think we hid in this life will come up in judgment. Unless you have spiritual order. If you have spiritual order, then God will forgive your past and it don't come up. That's why your conscience is clear. When people are on their deathbed and they're frantic of dying, it's because their conscience is not clear. That's why the deathbed prayer is so popular. Because you can get right with God the day you die by making a deathbed what? Repentance. Not so. God expects us to do the law. If we keep the law, we can keep spiritual order. If we keep spiritual order, we're not going to live with trauma. Because God gives us joy and peace. And the mind is at peace. And you, no matter what happened to you in your past, once you get in order with God spiritually, you can deal with the trauma and you'll take it all and make it positive. Why? You have spiritual order. So here's the answer. Post-traumatic stress disorder is people living with things that are happening in their lives. Work on spiritual order and it alleviates stress disorder. That's the point I'm making. And so the power of the conscience is working in your favor. It is working. If you are bothered by your past, if you are bothered by the unforgiveness, if you are bothered by being bitter, if you are bothered by becoming angry, if you are bothered by the fact that you can't love your daddy because of the way he done you, if you can't love the man that raped you, you say, what? I got to love him. I'm telling you, that's spiritual order. You got to love the enemy.
Amen.
And when I can love him, I ain't going to hate him. If I don't hate them, I don't have to be stressed when I see them. When people, if the person that hurt you, you see them and you can't stand them, you have spiritual disorder. So you're living with a stress. Because guess what? The same people who hurt you, Jesus died for them too. Spiritual order says you can forgive anyone. So, but there's still hope. When you can't forgive your abuser or the person who hurt you or the man who cheated on you or the woman who cheated on you, or if you can't hurt the person who molested you or the person who just hurt you by whatever the case may be, however you got hurt, you okay if your conscience is working, because you're not going to feel right when you don't speak to them, and you're going to get it right, you're going to speak, go on by your way, but you're going to be okay when you see the person because you got spiritual order. There's hope. However, the last point I want to make, I must warn you that you can believe you're okay when you're not. You can believe you're okay and not be bothered in your conscience, but be wrong because it's not according to the word of God. Turn to Acts 23 at my last point. Acts 20, I'm going to show you Paul in Acts 23 and verse 1. Listen to what Paul said.
And Paul.
Paul earnestly.
Earnestly beholding the council.
Said,
men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.
Now y'all know this is Paul saying that. Do you remember when Paul is not talking about before he was converted. Paul is talking about now that he's been converted. But before Paul was converted, get 1 Timothy chapter 1, Brother Stroud. Mm-hmm. Listen what Paul said about himself. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12.
And I thank Christ Jesus,
now
our
Lord.
Now
watch what he said. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Who enabled me. For that he counted me faithful.
He counted me faithful.
Putting me into the ministry.
Put me where?
Into the ministry.
Read.
Who was before.
Now here's what I was before. That's post.
A blasphemer.
Now, you see, now here's Paul's life before he became a child of God. So here's how we do it. You know, this is your lifeline. This is birth and this is death. So here's Paul right now. But Paul in his past, Paul said, my conscience was okay back then. My conscience was okay because what I did, he said, I was before a blasphemer.
A persecutor.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And injurious.
Yeah, injurious. He was injuring people. He was a persecutor. Read.
Okay, I'm sorry. But I obtained mercy.
But Paul said, God gave me mercy.
Because I did it ignorantly.
I did it ignorantly. Watch what he said.
In unbelief.
Yeah, read on.
And the grace of our Lord
was
exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is a faithful saying
and
worthy of all acceptation.
Now, here it is.
That Christ Jesus
came into the world
to save sinners
of whom I am
chief.
Paul said, I was the chief. But then in Acts 23, he said, I have lived with all good conscience toward God. So he thought he was doing right when he was killing the Christians. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 1, Paul was persecuting Christians. He was doing it in the name of God. He thought he was right. But Jesus came to him on the road to Damascus and knocked him to his knees. And then he told Ananias to go to him. Ananias said, man, I can't go to that guy. That guy killing Christians. And I didn't want to go to him. But Jesus said he'd been chosen. So I'm just giving you the story. So Saul had to be converted. And I said, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away. Once he washed away his sin, that was Paul. So Paul is speaking as one who's been forgiven of his past. That's why he said, I live with all good conscience toward God. So what I'm saying is, when he was persecuting the Christians and when he was killing them, he was okay in his mind because he thought he was doing it right in the eyesight of God because it wasn't based on the word of God. See, when we do things not based on the word of God, you can make yourself, well, you know, the Lord know my heart and I know God know what they done to me and how hard it is for me to speak to them, so I ain't got to do it. No. You are in sin because you have a spiritual disorder.
Amen.
And you're saying you're okay when you are not okay in the eyesight of God. So here's how I want to close this. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God works on the thoughts and intents. You got to receive it. Because the word of God is what's going to keep you with spiritual order. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instructions in righteousness.
That the man, that of, the God man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished
unto
all good works.
Now get Psalm 118:105. That's okay. I won't need it. I'm finished. The word of God is a lamp.
105.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible reads, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments.
All right, let's summarize what I'm talking about. So what do we got? You got to look at the man in the mirror. It's you. You got to answer the question. What is your trauma related to? Where did it come from?
Okay.
And we don't know who's sitting here. We've dealt with suicide and all these things lately. Mm-hmm. We've dealt with traumas, and people are still crying over something that happened to them earlier in their lives. Have you handled it spiritually yet?
Amen.
Have you dealt with it spiritually? You don't have to live in your past. You can make a decision to live as a spiritual person, and spiritual order will take the stress of your past away. What I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, there are some brothers and sisters in the church, your conscience is seared, and you're never going to speak to them. You're never going to forgive them. And so what I'm raising the flag on, you are in spiritual danger of losing your soul. You hear Christians say that, I will forgive, but I won't forget. So why are you saying that? You know why you're saying it? Check yourself. Are you saying it because you harbor bitterness? And you want them to know, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget what you've done to me. You understand? Which means I haven't forgiven you yet. And if every time your little, whatever your trauma is, every time you're sore or the pain is touched and it's still hurt, you have not dealt with your past. So you got to make a decision. You got to look in the mirror and decide, are you going to keep living like that? Are you going to relieve your conscience, say to God, forgive me, and move on with your life and forgive the people in your past? Now, this can help brothers and sisters in the church. Amen. It can help marriages. Amen. Y'all gonna say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Should have said amen when I said the church. There are people in church who don't speak to each other over something crazy. That's a shame, isn't it? Here we are calling ourselves Christians and won't speak to each other. I hope ain't nobody here tonight like that. You'll walk by a brother or sister in the church and won't speak to them because of something they done to you. Or they had your boyfriend. Now the one you thought loved you, now she got him, and you can't stand her because she got the man who ain't with you. You ought to be glad he ain't with you. Because if he was any good, he'd still be with you. Amen. Somebody walls and light. You know, your stuff like that happens. Y'all know that, don't you? You know how folks stop speaking because one. Amen. Let me move on. Somebody ought to say amen right about here. Tell the truth. Stay in the church. Tell the truth. It's little stuff. Little stuff we lose our souls over because our conscience ain't bothered like that, you know. And then, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I'm going to stop with that. But what am I saying tonight? What am I saying? Y'all say I go so fast. Did y'all get it?
Yeah.
What'd you get? The power of what? The conscience going to do one or two things. Going to do what?
Excuse or accuse.
And so even tonight, this afternoon, if you have something going on in your past that have traumatized you and you can't forgive them, if it's not bothering you that you don't forgive, you're in the danger zone called sin. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to live with the stress of your past all your life, and you're going to die in your sins. And you think you got trauma now? Die in your sins. Then you sure enough got some trauma. Ask the rich man if it was burning already. My little grandbaby asked me today, Papa, if you die, I think she said, if you're mad at somebody, you die, or will you be burning or something like that? I said, yeah, you'll be burning already. As soon as you die, you get the burning, just burning. That's scary, isn't it? That is scary. Lord have mercy, give us some time. Is that right, y'all? I hope the PTSD series is helping you. I really do, because you're seeing this stuff is going on in people's lives, and you're talking to them. The more I listen to people, all of us got something in our lives that happened in our past that many of us just haven't let go of, or we held on to. And guess what you can do? You can live a better life just by starting right now. So you know what? No more. Is that good?
Yes.
What are you saying, Brother Brooke? The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's all he's saying. The day God speaks to you and say, let that go and forgive that person, harden not your heart. That's your day of salvation. That's the day God saves you. The day you let go. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're going to have trouble on the day of judgment. You're going to have trouble on the day of judgment because you have no way to have spiritual order if you don't believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That only begotten son was Jesus the Christ. And guess what he did, y'all? He went through a suffering that traumatized him. It was something in the garden. You ought to hear how he cried in the garden. Just the fact that he got to go through everything he had to go through. He asked God to let the cup pass 3 times. He cried as if the sweat was dropping like blood off of him. Amen. He left there wrestling, and they beat him, and they mocked him, and they hit him, and they hit him with a king's fist, and then they beat him with the whip. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They gave that tree, and they put the tree on his back and marched him up the hill of Calvary. And on that hill, he would go through suffering and pain, nothing like we go through. None of us had gone through what he went through. He went through shame. I know you've seen the pictures with the little white cloth around him. Do you know that's not the way they did it? They had his clothes on the ground, gambling with him. What y'all think he was like up on the cross? Did he have a rag around him? He had no rag around him. They didn't put rags around him. That's somebody that drew that little pretty picture. No blood on him, head dropped to the side, and a rag around him. That's not the way it looked. He was beat up. He was bloodied. He had marks all up down his face, his body, stripes all over him. His face was visage. It was marred like a bear had clawed him in the face. You couldn't even recognize him. And he was up there naked because they had the clothes down there on gambling over him. So we ought to understand what he went through to give us the peace that we can have as children of God. You say, well, brother, how do I get that peace? By believing in that story I just told? Repenting of your sins. Today saying, you know, I can't leave like this. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord then add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Then what happened when I get baptized? You got spiritual order. The old man go down, new man come up. And he let the old man stay buried. Amen. The old man used to cuss and all that. What else they did, Clark? I was your Clark. What else the old man did? Ain't no telling what all he did. You know much? You know anything about the old man? How many of y'all remember your old man? God gave us memory. I remember mine. Y'all remember your old man? Yeah. Amen. Somebody back there waving their hands and said, Brother Brooks, I know my old man. And you know, how many of you let that old man show up again every once in a while? Yeah, you say stuff like, you know, I lost my Christianity. No, your old man came up. You lost your spirituality. Amen. That's what happened. So, but today, what I'm saying, back to the series note, Jesus went through everything he went through for us to have spiritual order. So how do you get it? By being obedient to him, being baptized for the remission of sin. The Lord then adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Is that good?
Amen.
And then you live, y'all. Live according to the law of God. Let it work on your heart. When the word of God pricks your heart, just like the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, the men, 3,000 people said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. They were pricked in their heart. That's what the word of God can do for you. It can prick you tonight to go and ask somebody to forgive you. It can prick you tonight to let go of any foolishness in your past. You don't have to live with trauma. You can forgive it, and you can move on. That's what I'm teaching my family, my children, my grandkids. You don't have to live in the past. Live in the future. It's bright. Amen. As long as God's in your life, you have a bright future. Just keep your eye on the hill. Keep your eye on cross. Amen. Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on God. If you're looking at God, you can't see no trauma. If you're looking at God, you can't see nothing but love and happiness. Amen. That sounds like a song. Amen. Somebody went back to old man, got love and happiness. And Clark told me, make you want to do wrong and make you want to do right. Yeah, that's that old man. But I'm talking about love and peace and joy that can come. Your future is bright when you keep your eye on God. Isn't that good? Why we got to look back? We don't even drive our cars that way. We drive our cars looking which way? The direction we trying to go. Amen. As children of God, we keep our eyes on the direction we trying to go. We trying to go to a place where there'll be no more crying, no more dying, no more hospital, no more nothing. No funeral home, no doctor's bills, amen. No fussing, no fighting, amen, somebody. You ain't got to worry about nothing up there. God will be there and he'll wipe away all tears from your eyes. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I don't know about you. But I'm glad I'm Christian. Why wouldn't you come tonight? Become a Christian by obeying that gospel. Or being a member of the church is a blessing just to be able to ask for forgiveness. Amen. You ought to do that tonight. And what happened when we ask forgiveness? Our conscience says, you are excused. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Wouldn't you come as together we stand, sing the song of encouragement.